Okay, so now finally Israel and North America, or Chutz La'aretz really, have caught up to each other, and they are going to be learning the same parsha, Dvarim, which we always read before Tisha B'Av. Now, just a short introductory comment that I think will help you as we go through Dvarim. So, throughout the Torah, as we know, there are many stories, there are many laws which are repeated in more than one place in the Torah with different details, sometimes simply additional details, sometimes offering different perspectives which are not obviously intention, though were noticeably missing in one context or the other. And sometimes there are details that aren't just missing in one context and filled in another, but perspectives that seem to be in intention. And this is one of the central issues that any parshan on the Torah has to deal with, whether this be Chazal, who deal with it obviously both in the narrative context and obviously in the halachic context, where they deal with seeming stirot. They use the Yud Gimel Midot, they fill in details, they come up with resolutions. So whether it be Chazal or any of the classical Mefarshim. And in addition to that, it was also, one of these tensions that are found in Chazal is one of the things that spurred the problematic movements of biblical criticism. Now, the sefer in which these phenomena are most evident and most prevalent are in Dvarim. And this is something that, like I said, this is something that the Bible scholars picked up on, and for them, Dvarim is really is totally separate from the rest of the Torah. But the truth is that Chazal already noted that Dvarim is in fact different than the rest of the Torah. It's also divine. It's also obviously Torah, but it originates in a certain sense with Moshe, and this is what Chazal say in Megillah Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Where the Gemara says that in the other Svarim, you get Umoshem Piagvura Amaran, and they're commenting specifically on the klalot that are found in different Svarim, but in other places in Torah, Moshe Mipiagvura Amaran, Moshe speaking in the name of God, v'halol b'lashon yachid amurot, v'moshe mipi'atzman, atzmo amaran. Moshe is saying it, so to speak, from his own perspective. Now, that doesn't mean he made it up, but it does mean that it is more than the rest of the Torah, and how exactly you figure that out is a bit complicated, but more than the rest of the Torah is reflected through Moshe's perspective, which makes sense, because Sefer Dvarim, in the end of the day, is a record of Moshe's final speeches to the Jewish people, at the end of his life and role as leader of the Jewish people, and on the eve of their entering into Israel and building a society in Eretz Israel. And that simple fact that Dvarim, again, whether, however exactly you want to take it, and even with taking as a given that the Torah is all, right, Chamisha Chumshei Torah are all Mipi Hashem, the sense in which that's true in Dvarim is slightly different than it is in the other books, where Moshe's character is much more out in front, shall we say, and the Torah's perspective is presented much more through his perspective in Dvarim. Hence, the fact that Moshe begins to speak in first person, right? The other Svarim you get Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, and here Moshe starts talking about Hashem is Midaber Elai. Now there are halachic implications to this. So, for example, the Gemara in Yevamah, Daf Dalet, says that there is a machlokas in general whether halachot can be derived from juxtaposition in the Torah, from the fact that two laws are juxtaposed, or smuchen in informal halachic language. And Rabbi Yosef there says that afilu man lo darish smuchen ba'alma b'mishnah Torah darish. Dahar of Yehuda Ba'alma lo darish of Mishnah Torah darish. Right, he writes that even if in general you don't assume that you are allowed to derive halachot from mere juxtaposition of two laws in Dvarim, you are allowed to, and you can, or you must, whatever, however you want to take that, derive laws from juxtaposition. And the reason is because this is a constructed speech, right? Moshe takes what he is going to recount and the laws that he's going to introduce that have not been recorded elsewhere in the Torah, and he puts together organized speeches. So you can't say, oh, maybe these laws just happen to be get together because they chronologically made sense, that they, whatever reason you're going to say. These are constructed speeches, and Moshe put laws together, so Chazal tell you that everyone would agree that the order matters, that Moshe did it in a very particular way, because look, they've already learned a lot of these laws, they've heard these stories, and the fact that they're put together in this exact way, obviously there's a rhyme and reason to it, and therefore there are halachic implications. You can be doresh smuchen. And in terms of the agadic issues, while this doesn't solve every problem in Dvarim, when you find narrative issues where a story is presented in one way, either with seemingly contradictory, now that's going to be more complicated, but at least when you have stories that are in tension, where the emphasis seems to be very significantly different in Dvarim than it does in the rest of the Torah, the fact that, one, this is Moshe's subjective presentation of it, and two, this is a constructed speech at the end of Moshe's life, and therefore Moshe is focusing on parts of the story that are relevant to what he is telling, at what he's doing at that moment. Right? Meaning, it's not necessarily that Moshe saying it from a different perspective in the sense that he views it differently. It could simply be that, look, when you're telling the story the first time, this focuses on one thing, but when you are giving Musar to the Jewish people on the eve of going into Eretz Israel, so themes that were less important maybe when they were happening become more important, and therefore Moshe chooses to focus on them. And these two issues, or these two points, one, that this is a speech that Moshe writes, and therefore is somewhat through the lens that Moshe views it, and the second being that Moshe is giving this as a speech and not an objective recounting, but as part of his final mussar to the Jewish people, and therefore may need to focus on different things, both of those go a long way in resolving the stirot that you find in Dvarim. Now, again, obviously this doesn't solve everything. In cases where there seem to be open contradictions, this won't help you. But at least it will explain different foci in the story. As we go through Dvarim, we'll try to point out some of these issues as they come, and solve the issues. For now, I would just say, try to use this perspective and maybe figure out how that would help you understand these seeming stira that come up in some of the first stories that Moshe recounts, the story of the Meraglim, the story of the judges, on the appointment of the judges, v'chulei.